Welcome to the Perfume Room. My scent of the day today will shock the masses because it shocked me too. It's not technically perfume, but it is scented. Today, the only scent that is on my skin is that of Sol Janeiro Beige Flor Elastic Cream. Say that 10 times fast. Anyway, this fragrance was actually gifted to my mother, who generously regifted it to me. And by regifted it to me, I mean I saw it sitting in her bathroom and she hadn't opened it, and so I took it. Mom, if you're listening, I promise you this is not your taste. You won't miss it. So thank you so much. Why is this shocking, though? This is shocking because if you know me, you know that I am not a huge fan of that sort of ethyl maltol and Broxin combo that feels sort of derivative of Baccarat Rouge and all of Baccarat Rouge's derivatives. Thinking of Baccarat's obvious descendants, I think to me it most closely resembles maybe Burberry Her, because while you get that sort of ozonic, airy feel that comes from the Ambroxan, this does lean quite heavily into that sort of fruity, candied sweetness. Though, whereas Her feels distinctly berry-ish, in Beige Flor, it feels more tropical and bright. And I think the biggest shocker of all is that I don't hate it. I'm actually kind of enjoying it. Somehow, right now, in New York City, it is mid-April and it is 90 degrees out. And I feel like this scent really matches that energy. Optimistic, cheerful, coming on a little strong. But you know what? I think there is a time, a place, and a mood to wear this. There's no day but today. And I have no regrets. And I say this, I think, in every episode of the podcast, but we do indeed contain multitudes. And this is one of mine. Let's get to our guest. It feels like April is BDK month on Perfume Room. And to be honest, it is. I am so excited about all the various BDK Parfum points of contact and collaboration this month, the first of which is this, that the founder, David Benedek, is today's guest on Perfume Room. David grew up surrounded by fragrance, a kid in a proverbial candy shop, if you will. Except this shop actually existed. It was his family's perfumery, Ben Lux, in Paris. This early exposure to fine fragrance gave David a refined palate from a young age. And while you or I might have been sporting body mists, fruity florals, and fresh aquatics, etc. during our youth, David proudly roamed his high school halls in Musk Revageur. And for that, we love. David and I chat today about the BDK signature, that common thread that you might detect throughout the line. We talk about his family and specifically his grandmother, what she smelled like, what she taught him, and how she championed BDK Parfum. We talk about David's olfactive training and his experience first navigating the industry a decade ago as a 23-year-old founder. Yes, David began working on this line at the young age of 23, but he's wise beyond his years, and you will feel it in this conversation. David also shares stories of his time in New York, what you'll find on his Spotify playlist right now, and of course, some exciting upcoming projects, scents, and happenings for BDK. Here is David Benedek. David, welcome to the Perfume Room. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you.
I am so excited to speak with you. I'm such a fan of BDK Parfum. I have waxed poetic about Gris Charnel. All of the people who listen to this podcast know that it is one of my favorite scents ever. So it's like meeting your hero in real life.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very sweet. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I always start the podcast with the following question, which is, what are you currently wearing? Fragrance-wise, obviously. You're wearing a very nice suit.
Oh, yes, what I'm currently wearing.
Yes.
No, so yes, since I have BDK, I'm always wearing, you know, all my trials that I make at the laboratories with the perfumer. Uh-huh. So right now I'm wearing one of them.
Can you give us any spoilers about what's in it? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's currently base notes. Tonka beans, mm-hmm. A lot of musk, sandalwood, and there's a little touch of fig, but it's just the new beginning of something, so we'll see.
It's interesting you say those notes, because I feel like I have seen those notes in so many beautiful BDK creations, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but is there sort of a je ne sais quoi, like a BDK signature that if consumers smelled blind, they might be like, that's a BDK scent?
That's a good question, you know, thank you for asking. But yeah, you know, it's kind of hard. It's not easy, you know, because I made the choice to work with different perfumers, right? Mm-hmm. So I have four collections at BDK. Mm-hmm. So one of my goals was to find what could be the BDK signature. Mm-hmm. So it's true that there are common raw materials that I use in my perfume. such as vanilla and musk. Mm-hmm. There's always maybe this little touch of vanilla mm-hmm. in my perfume. Not in all of them, mm-hmm. but in most of them, yes. Mm. Why? Because I think that it brings something very sensual, something very deep, and I like deep perfume.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Villa Neroli, for example, that I love the vanilla in that fragrance because I feel like Neroli is usually so sort of fresh. And I think that what's so perfect about that scent is that it has that perfect sort of citrus freshness, and then it's just warm and sweet and gourmand at the same time.
It's very true what you say. And that was the purpose of Villa Neroli. It was to build like a Neroli fragrance mm-hmm. and put it in another dimension. And we did it with Alexandra Carlin. Mm-hmm. We added this beautiful vanilla from Madagascar with mm-hmm. this creamy sandalwood. And we added a molecule, which name is Nerolium. Mm-hmm. And it smells Neroli, but in a very musky way. So that's true.
Okay, so another question that I always ask up top, but it seems like it's probably hard as a brand founder to have an answer to this. But do you have a signature scent or scent profile? Maybe like types of scents you're always wearing.
That I'm wearing myself, you mean?
Yeah.
There are raw materials that I really enjoy to wear. Like, for example, I'm in love with pink berries. I'm in love with fig. I'm in love with sandalwood. I'm in love with everything musky. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing, I would say. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who is really curious. Probably you know that I grew up surrounded by perfume. Because
yes,
my
do.
Grandparents and my parents own a perfumery in Paris. Mm-hmm. So thanks to that, I was able to discover many, many perfumes. And it allowed me to have this big culture for fragrances. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious.
What was young David wearing? What were the first sort of like gateways to perfume for you personally?
Oh, the first smell that I can remember was the perfume of my mother. You know, at that time she's still wearing Allure Sensuelle from Chanel. Mm. And it's a very interesting smell because, you know, it's flowery, but it's very sensual. Mm-hmm. It's deep. It's fresh and warm at the same time.
Right.
This perfume has a lot of contrast. Mm-hmm. So this is the first perfume I can remember, yeah.
Mm. Were you wearing that as well? Or
no.
Like, what was the first scent
no,
you wore?
No, I never put it on myself. For me, it reminds me of my mother, and I'm in love with this interpretation.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So what was that like being... I want to hear more about your family's foray into perfumery. You mentioned the perfumery that your family owns. How did that come about?
Actually, it's a long story.
We've got time.
I'm going to tell you a little bit of it. So, you know, my mother was born in Morocco and mm-hmm. my father was born in Romania. Mm-hmm. And after the Second War, my grandparents, they established themselves in Paris. Because my grandfather, he used to be a lawyer, and mm-hmm. he used to be a lawyer in Romania, but he did his study in Paris, so he used to speak French. Mm-hmm. So after the war, they came back to Paris, but he couldn't be a lawyer because his diploma was not working there. Mm-hmm. So he was searching for something else. So my grandmother, she told my grandfather that maybe perfume could be a good business. So they started to go and ask the agreement to distribute perfume such as Worth, Dior or Patou, mm-hmm. and they were selling the perfume to the American soldiers that were still in France after the war. And the American soldiers were buying a lot of perfume for their families, and they were shipping to the United States. Mm. And the business was going well, and after that, they decided to open their first perfumery in 1959. Mm-hmm. And it's a perfumery that my parents still own today.
Was anybody else sort of tapping into that market of American soldiers, or were they sort of the first ones to have that idea?
No, honestly, I think my grandfather, he was the first one to make it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think he was very kind of clever. Mm-hmm. Maybe he understood that people were really focused on French luxury goods mm-hmm. and that American people were looking for this kind of products. So he wanted to be seen as a representative for this kind of products and to ship them in the United States. Mm.
So, you know what? BDK has long roots with the American consumer.
Yes.
So I'm curious, what was it like growing up in the family business? Did you ever work at the store, or did you spend a lot of time in there as a child?
True, true. During all my holidays when I was a child, I used to be at the store mm-hmm. and helping my parents and the people there. I was really in love with this activity. It is not something, you know, my parents didn't force me to work there. It was really my choice to go there and spend time there because mm-hmm. I was in love with perfume. I was in love with the people there. It's still like a big family mm-hmm. because when you enter in this shop, you have people who are working for 40 years, mm-hmm. 30 years, you know. You have young and older people. So it's a really nice place where you meet different kind of people. And I, And I still enjoy to go there today.
Did you have this sort of, you know what it makes me think of? It's not the same at all, but there's a very famous children's book called Eloise at the Plaza. When you walked into Ben Lux, right? Yeah, that's what it's called. Right. When you walked into the store, was everyone like, David's here? Like the boss is kidding? Like, was there like a different sort of dynamic?
Yes, maybe. But you know, I have a very close relationship with all of them. So I don't take any distance mm-hmm. with them. I'm very close with all the people who are working there. Even if they are new entrants, I would say, or people who are working there for all the time. But no, maybe they see me as the boss or something, but I don't see myself like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like the biggest indicator is BDK sold at Ben Lux? And if so, do you have a grand display with a picture of your face?
No.
No.
I don't, no. Now, of course, it's sold there, you know, because it's like it's part of my DNA, you know, thanks to this shop. And to, you know, I was very close to my grandmother and she passed away like 8 years ago, but she was like my best friend. And she was really the one who teach me the love for perfume, who showed me all the beautiful bottle of perfume from the 40s, from the 60s, because she had a very nice collection from Baccarat, from Lalique, of these beautiful bottles. So she was the one who really showed me the first bottles. And from there, I started to be in love with perfumery.
And what did your grandmother wear? What did she smell like?
Yeah, she used to wear Arpège from Lanvin. She used to wear number 5, number 19 from Chanel. And she used to wear a lot Rive Gauche from Yves Saint Laurent. She really likes
lots of aldehydes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She really likes aldehydes and flowery perfume.
So are there any fragrances in BDK right now that are inspired by your grandmother?
True, yeah.
I knew there was.
Actually, there are two. First one is my first creation. It's called Bouquet de Hongrie. So it means in French, in English, it means Hungarian bouquet. Because actually, it's the only perfume she smelled when she was alive. And she really enjoyed it. And the inspiration of this perfume was the gardens in Romania. Because I had the chance to go to Romania. And there, you know, people own houses with garden. But their gardens, they are very green. So I was really inspired by the green side of the flower in the water. So it's a very aquatic floral bouquet. And she really liked it. So I named it Bouquet de Hongrie in tribute to her.
And that's so amazing that she had a chance to smell it as well.
Yes, yes. Actually, she was really excited by the creation of my brand. I'm sure she sees it. She see it now.
Yeah.
From the sky, maybe, but she see it. And the second creation that I pay tribute to her, it's called French Bouquet. It's a floral bouquet full of aldehydes, aldehyde C12. So very sparkling, very metallic at the same time, but very modern. And it's full of jasmine, ylang, rose. And why? Because it's a tribute to all these beautiful perfumes that you've had in the 70s with a lot of aldehydes. But I work around flowers, but in a more contemporary way.
How do you think aldehydes are received by consumers today? Like, is that one of the more popular fragrances in the line? Or it's more of like, if you like aldehydes, you will like it?
There's a lot to say. Aldehydes could be seen very vintage. Maybe 10 years ago, people were not into aldehydes. But I think it's coming back on the scene right now. You know, I'm thinking about many perfumes from other brands or at BDK too. And people like it. People enjoy them. So, you know, sometimes there's a way to use aldehydes not to smell vintage, but to smell even more modern.
Right.
So that's the trend. That's one of the trends right now. Yeah.
I mean, I think what's interesting about aldehydes that I've been seeing is so many people are coming out with sort of conceptual, like you're saying, modern fragrances where like a note is like steel or like something like that's metal or some that's supposed to feel futuristic, but it's from an aldehyde, which ironically is a vintage smell.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I totally agree with what you just say.
So I have another question that I always ask at the top, but I sort of got ahead of myself, which is, do you have any fragrance controversial opinions or things that others in the industry might not agree with you about?
Yes, of course. My first statement would be to say that synthetic molecular are amazing. And a natural one are amazing too. And I think that the magic and the beauty of perfumery is to find the right balance between these two materials, you know, these two raw materials, you know. I think you really need the synthetic molecular to make the natural one even more blooming or more beautiful. So I'm not someone who will be a defender of only natural raw material perfume, you know. So that's my first statement.
A good mix. Okay, that's the first one. There's more. Okay.
The second one is that for me, raw materials have no gender. Mm-hmm. And if you can be a woman and like strong and woody perfume, and you can be a man and enjoy wearing beautiful floral perfume, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's my second statement, and I think it's a real statement that now all the niche brands have, you know. Mm-hmm. We never say that it's for men or for women. We always let the customer choosing what he likes and or what she likes, and mm-hmm. that's the most important, you know. When I create a perfume at BDK, I don't think, sometimes my inspiration can be a man, sometimes my inspiration can be a woman, or can be something else. Mm-hmm. But it's not because the inspiration comes from a man or a woman that is for men or for women. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
That's it.
Well, speaking of your inspirations, I know you have a very strong olfactive training, which I want to get to, but I'm curious, when you are ideating, is it more of a concept, or are you usually envisioning certain materials as well?
It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really both. And that's why I created 4 collections at BDK. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for example, if I take the example of La Collection Parisienne, mm-hmm. the story starts from the city mm-hmm. and we go to the raw material. Mm-hmm. So the story always starts with someone I knew or someone I know, an energy in Paris that I want to take and put it in a bottle. Mm-hmm. And then I start to speak about raw materials mm-hmm. with the perfumer. Mm-hmm. And if I take the example of La Collection Matière, each time I take one raw material and I try to give to this raw material unexpected dimension that you would not have smelled in the perfumery. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. If I take the example of La Collection Azur, it's about my memories in the south of France. Mm-hmm. Because since I'm young, I go every summer spending time in the south next to the Mediterranean mm-hmm. Sea. So it depends.
Mm. You're talking about with the Parisienne collection that it's inspired by memories of Paris or people you know. Are there any fragrances in that collection that there's like any story behind of something that happened to you in Paris?
Yes. Yes. Now we're going into a more intimate subject. But for example, if I take the idea of Pas ce soir, mm-hmm. you know, how, because you know, Pas ce soir in English means not tonight,
right?
I launched BDK 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. In next June would be 7 years. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, the story of this perfume is very funny. I was just outside on the terrace having a coffee with my friends. Mm-hmm. And I told them, like 8 years ago, I told them, I want to name a perfume with a tricky name, something that you never heard before, because I would like to express the Parisian sensuality, mm-hmm. not in a sexual way, but more in a sensual way. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the name Pas ce soir? You know, and also, actually, you know, 8 years ago, it was not so obvious that you would be able to name a perfume like that. You know, mm-hmm. today, yes, because I think you don't have any boundaries naming any perfume. You know, mm-hmm. but at that time, 8 years ago, it was quite new. So I did it, and it was a friend's story, because all my friends were laughing, and I told me, David, you're not going to name a perfume like that, and I said, yeah, I will do it. And I did it, and it's fun, it's nice. Mm.
So when you went to the fragrance house with this idea, you said this was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
What perfumer worked on Pas ce soir?
It's Violaine Collat.
Oh, okay.
And she's working at Man. Mm-hmm. And I work with her also for Crème de Cuir. Mm. When I first knocked at the door of companies to make perfume, mm-hmm. it was really hard because I was 23, 24 years old. Mm-hmm. So I just finished my study. I knew I really wanted to build a beautiful brand, but I really needed to convince people to work with me, right?
Yeah, I imagine that would be very tough.
It was not easy.
Yeah.
And today it's easier, of course, but at that time, at 23 years old, it was not easy. Mm-hmm. And the first one who really helped me and opened their doors was a man, you know? And so Pas ce soir was one of my first perfume as Bouquet de Hongrie, as Tuberose Impériale, ou d'Abramad. Mm-hmm. And the last one at that time was Wood Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And Wood Jasmine, I did it with a perfumer named Camille Leguet. Mm-hmm. She used to work at Cinquième Sens. Mm-hmm. And so I did this perfume with them.
Oh, wow. So what do you think about BDK differentiated you from other brands on the market? Why did BDK need to exist, and how is it different?
Good questions. Yeah, because, you know, I have to speak in a very humble way, because I think there are many, many beautiful brands. Of course, I'm in love with BDK. I'm in love with what I'm doing, because in BDK, I put all my love for perfume in a very natural approach, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about any concept. I'm just thinking about what could be beautiful modern French perfumery today. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to do with BDK. Mm-hmm. I like to speak about life. You know, I like to speak about emotions. I like to speak about people I know, Parisian energy, beautiful raw materials. But there's not a specific concept behind the brands. And this is something I always refuse to do, because for me, when you want to do perfume, you don't have always to justify yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're really passionate about perfume, I think it's a good reason to make perfume. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to compare BDK with other brands, but just speaking about BDK, I would say that my brand is authentic and has this very natural approach for perfume mm-hmm. that I really enjoy.
So you had this idea when you were 23. Did you always, I mean, that's a very young age to know what you wanted to do. So did you always know that fragrance was the path you wanted to pursue, or were you ever considering a different career?
That's a good question. So I did my master's degree at French Institute of Fashion,
mm-hmm.
and there I took the perfumery class. So during 1 year, I was able to learn the raw materials to create perfumes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always also very attracted to fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, you know, my instinct pushed me to work around perfumes and not fashion. I love fashion. I enjoy it a lot. I love everything which is creative, actually. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of paintings.
Hmm.
But my instinct pushed me to perfume, and I'm very happy to be able to work in the perfume industry today.
Hello. You know how I told you that in this house, April is BDK month? Well, you know what? It is. And today, April 18th, when you are listening to this, is the last day that you can purchase tickets for the BDK-themed Smell Club this month. There are only a few tickets left. I also just want to call out, I am recording this in advance, so if the event is sold out by now, I am so sorry, but let's assume there are a few remaining spots. Guess what? BDK does not currently sell a full discovery set in America. So not only is this the most affordable way to order 5 BDK samples on the internet, because for $15, you get 5 fragrances, but in addition, you can smell all of them alongside me and all your other future Perfume Room besties. It is a community of people as obsessed with fragrance as you are. It has also been scientifically proven that Perfume Room listeners are in fact the most interesting, fun, eclectic, funny, crazy, sexy, cool, etc. selection of people. I know this because I get to hang out with you all once a month at Smell Club. The event costs $20, the sample pack costs $15, that is a total cost commitment of $35 plus, you know, shipping, tax, etc. I can't control that. But just sign up at the link in my bio or in the notes of this episode. I'll put the link in both places. Pick the session that works best for you, head to Lucky Scent, order your sample pack, and then the best part of all is that, as I've mentioned too many times at this point, there is a bonus Q&A meet and greet with David himself. Today is the last day to sign up. I really hope to see you there. Tell us more about your olfactive training, because I know it's been a tremendous asset in the development of BDK. What was your training? Yeah.
So I did my master's degree at French Institute of Fashion. I took the perfumery class. So during 1 year, I was trained with the team of Givaudan mm-hmm. to learn all the raw materials. You know, I'm not a perfumer. I work with perfumer very mm-hmm. closely, but I'm not a perfumer. But I know, let's say, maybe 300 main raw materials that allows me to write my own formula and to complete the formula with the perfumer.
Wow.
So it's really a co-creation. We work together with
right.
the perfumer. And then after my master degree, I did another learning with Cinquième Sens, mm-hmm. where I finished my learnings about raw materials. That was important for me to have this diploma, because it allowed me to be really involved in the creative process, you know, for making perfume. And that's for me, it's very important as a brand founder to know what I'm doing, you know. And when I talk about it, I know what I'm talking about, you know.
Right. Mm. So you trained with Givaudan. Did you ever try and work with Givaudan, or did you always know you wanted to work with men?
Actually, to be very honest, when I first wanted to create my brand, I asked the team of Givaudan to help me because I really wanted to work with them, as I knew them from school, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they refused, and I was
their loss.
Yes, and I was very surprised, you mm-hmm. know, because I didn't expect such an answer from them.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, I knew someone working at Man. She's an amazing lady. Now she's retired, but her name is Monique.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the first one to help me and to open the door of Man.
Mm.
And that's why I'm very grateful to this company to have opened the door for me. It allows me to create my first perfumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in Man a few months ago for another project. and I saw all the BDK fragrances displayed, and I was like, I didn't know that you guys did the BDK fragrances. Yes. I really love them.
The BDK story began with them. Mm. So that's a nice story.
Are you exclusive with them now, or do
no,
you work?
No. And you know what? They never asked me an exclusivity. They're amazing people there, and I love the philosophy and the values of this company, because even if I began with them, they never asked me any exclusivity. Now I'm working with other companies such as IFF, Symrise, or Flair, but they're totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. I feel very free.
That's wonderful. When you were doing your olfactive training and you were memorizing all these raw materials, were there any, I mean, I know you mentioned loving pink berries and fig and musks and other notes. Were there any raw materials that the first time you smelled you fell in love with?
Yes, there are many, many. Mm-hmm. First one I have to answer would be pink berries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know it's why, so you know, but yeah. I like spice, you know.
Right.
My mother is from Morocco, so when she cooks, she uses a lot of spices, right? Mm-hmm. So since I'm very young, I'm used to eat a bit spicy dishes, I would say. Mm-hmm. So spices are something I really like to put in the perfume. But pink berries have different powers.
Right.
It's musky. It's softly spicy. It's a bit flowery, woody, you know? So it's something that you can use in a different way in perfumes. Mm-hmm. But then I'm really in love with deep raw materials such as sandalwood, vanilla, cedarwood. Mm-hmm. I love woody perfume. I love woody notes also. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the musk you can find in the chemical industry. You have a musk which are more woody, you have musk which are more flowery. So I like to play with them. Mm.
And at this point, now that you've developed so many fragrances and you have worked with so many perfumers, as you're developing an idea or a concept, do you have a perfumer in mind based on their sort of signature or their style? Or are you sort of putting it out and seeing what comes back?
It really depends, but it's true that now that I've been working with several perfumers, I built a very strong relationship with them for many years, and now I really know their work and their approach for raw materials or for perfumes. So it's true that when I have more woody idea for perfume, I will go and see this perfumer, or if I want to work around white floral, I will go for that perfumer.
Which perfumers for which? I'm curious.
No, but for example, you know, like for example, I can tell you something new. But my next exclusive fragrance for Harrods, it's around white flowers and vanilla and something else. But I'm not going to say everything today.
Yeah, okay.
But so one of the best perfumers to work around white flowers is Dominique Ropion. Mm. He's working at IFF, right? So I knew I wanted to work around white flowers, and actually no, this is not true. You know what? I smelled something from him. He did a perfume for a student in a fashion school, and I really like it. Mm-hmm. And when I smell his work that he did for this student, because each perfumer have to do a special perfume for a fashion student at the end of the year, and so IFF is one of their main partners. So all the perfumers at IFF created a scent for a fashion student, and when I smell this perfume, I was really in love with it without knowing that Dominique Ropion did it. And when I called IFF to speak about this perfume, they told me that he did it. And I understood why, because it was full of white flower. And then I contacted Dominique, and Dominique agreed to work with me. And I knew he was the one to work around white flowers, you know. For example, if I take also the case of Tuberose Imperial, which is also about tuberose and white flower. I work with Cécile Maton, because Cécile, she's very skilled to work around flowers too. You know? That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I'm actually curious. Okay, so as I mentioned before, I am one of millions of people obsessed with Gris Charnel. It's become a blockbuster fragrance. It's very popular. What in your line is something that, I don't know, I don't want to say underrated, because I feel like all of your fragrances are very well known, but something that you're like, more people should have awareness of this scent.
The first that goes to my mind is Crème de Cuir.
I love Crème de Cuir.
Yeah, because Crème de Cuir.
Josie showed me that one actually.
Yeah. Because Crème de Cuir, it's a leather perfume, but not a leather that you already smell in the industry. It's a soft white leather note, you know, without any animalistic direction. It's mm-hmm. very soft, very sensual, mm-hmm. Super musky. At the top notes, you have some green fruit leaves, leaves of pineapple, leaves of mandarin, leaves mm-hmm. of bergamot. It's not the fruit themselves that speak, but more the leaves of the fruit. Mm-hmm. So it's super interesting. So I would love Crème de Cuir to be more known. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I love all of them. I love Gris Charnel for sure. I love Velvet Tonka. I won the Fifi Award in France with Velvet Tonka last year. So it was a milestone for me because it was something very important.
Do you know I haven't smelled that one yet? I'm very excited to smell Velvet Tonka.
Yes, and so I love all of them. They're all in a certain way, they all have a real reason to exist, you know? Mm-hmm. Another one that comes to my mind is maybe Citrus Riviera mm-hmm. or Celle d'Argent from the Azure collection.
Right.
Because, you know, even if they are part of la collection Azure, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that it's only for summer. It's mm-hmm. it's for all the seasons, you know?
I agree, yeah.
But Celle d'Argent is super salty and super musky. Very interesting because the saltiness reminds you when you get out of the sea and you feel the salt of the sea on your skin. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice feeling. And the Citrus Riviera, it's all about citrusy notes with a touch of eucalyptus, mm-hmm. Which is not so common. Mm-hmm. So I would love people to try them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also feel like to say, cherry is very popular right now. And I feel like Rouge Smoking was very ahead of the curve.
True.
I feel like I'm smelling a lot of things on the market right now. And I'm like, this reminds me of Rouge Smoking. Yeah. So that's another one that I adore that one.
No, but Rouge Smoking has a very nice story too, you know. I work with Amélie Bourgeois. Mm. She's an independent perfumer. Mm-hmm. She created her own studio with Anne-Sophie Bergel. The name is Flair. And when I work with Amélie, we had this cherry seed notes. So it's not about the cherry itself, but more about the seed of the cherry.
Right.
In a very velvet.
It's not like syrupy sweet.
No, it's more the velvet side of the cherry.
It's very velvety. Yeah. Did you say velvety? Okay. Yeah.
And it's super musky. Mm-hmm. And we mix this seed of the cherry with the vanilla, mm-hmm. which brings something very deep and round. Mm-hmm. And it's true that now cherry fragrances are very popular, but I think we were one of the first to create a cherry fragrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to notice too. Yeah.
Yeah. You were mentioning earlier that Bouquet d'Ancre was sort of for your grandmother. I'm curious, before you even started the development of BDK Parfum, were there any fragrances that existed in your head? Like someday if I create fragrances, there's got to be one that smells like this or anything like that.
That already exists, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, there's one perfume that I really like. It was a Chanel Chance Eau Tendre, you know, mm-hmm. and I really like it because I really like the soft, flowery direction of this perfume. It's a very delicate perfume that brings for me a lot of joy, and a lot of emotions. And I never copied any fragrances because I'm not this kind of people. Mm-hmm. But I think creativity has to be your main focus always. Mm-hmm. But I really like the way they explore in a very soft way and in a very green way the flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's true that I was very admirative of this direction they took.
You've mentioned two Chanel fragrances. I'm curious, did you wear any Chanel fragrances prior to BDK? Or what fragrances were you wearing as a teenager?
Yeah, there are many. Yeah, no, when I was a teenager, I used to wear blue. Mm-hmm. A lot from Chanel, mm-hmm. but there were many fragrances that I wore. But my first love for niche perfume was a Musk Ravageur from Frédéric Malle.
Well, how old are you when you were wearing that?
17.
Bold.
18.
That's okay. Wow.
I was really young to wear such a fragrance, you know, because it's very animalistic. Mm-hmm. It's very very dense. Mm-hmm. So when you're 17 and you wear this kind of fragrance, you're like a bit something else.
Right.
But I didn't regret because I fell in love with the work of Maurice Roussel.
Right.
It's an amazing master perfumer that I have the chance today to know and to see on a regular amount of time.
Wow.
So yes, this was my first love for niche perfume.
Yeah, that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask you of, you know, many of us have fragrance pasts of wearing Axe or you know, different like body sprays, but because you were so exposed to fragrance, were you ever wearing those sort of more like drugstore scents, or were you always like, I'm 17, time for Musk Ravageur?
More the second option.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I was a very refined teenager. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always love beautiful things, you know. Mm-hmm. So not saying that these other perfumes are not good, you know, but I was very picky.
You knew.
I was picky, and yes. I'm still picky.
Right.
But yeah, true.
So we've talked a lot about everything that you've done with BDK and your perfume background. What is something non-perfume related that people might be surprised about you? I know you're mentioning that you paint. What's something that's not about perfume that you could talk about for hours?
That's a good thing. I love people. I love to share. I love to speak. I love to exchange, you know. And I think in a very humble way, but I think I'm someone who is super open-minded on cultures, on tastes. Mm-hmm. I like to listen to people, to what they like, to what they feel also, you know. I like to listen positive and negative feedbacks from my work. Mm-hmm. And I think that you don't do anything alone. You always need the support and the eyes of the others to exist, you know. And this is why I like people, because you know, on my way at BDK, I met many different kind of people: perfumers, suppliers, retailers, distributors, customers. Mm-hmm. For me, BDK is a real human adventure. Mm-hmm. And yes, I want to keep this adventure like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I hope I will never, you know, because now the brand is growing. So of course I have many other prerogatives, working on maybe marketing or working on markets, but I will never forget the first motivation I had while creating the brand, which are my love for perfume, you know. Mm-hmm. And my love for people, because when I created BDK, I was always focused on how can I make people feel even more sensual.
Right.
And I think sensuality, I often talk about sensuality, because for me, when you wear a perfume, you wear it for yourself, but you wear it also for the others. Mm-hmm. And I think that what people want wearing a perfume is to feel even more sensual.
Right.
And that's why I like this theme and to talk about sensuality. Mm.
You're mentioning like you've received a lot of different feedback over the years and you find it all useful. Is there any valuable feedback that you can remember of like, this changed the course of something you were working on, or maybe something that now that you've been doing this for almost a decade that you're like, if I had known this then, any useful advice or feedback that you've learned over the years?
There were many. I was lucky enough to receive many, many good advice, but one of the best advice I received was one from my mother. Mm. And she told me, you know, David, if you want to make perfume, think only about the perfume and not something else. Don't think about the design of the bottle, the design of the packaging. Just
even though it is very beautiful design.
Yeah, thank you so much. But I did exactly what I like, you know, what I love. But she told me just to focus on the formula and on the perfume. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, what people want to wear, it's a beautiful perfume.
Right.
Of course, the bottle, the cap, the packaging is super important. But the aim of the product is the perfume and not something else, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the best advice I received.
So I have to ask, your mom was wearing Allure Sensuelle. Which BDK fragrances does she wear?
She likes Velvet Tonka and Pas Ce Soir.
That kind of that makes sense, the trajectory of Allure Sensuelle to...
Yes. And I mean, I don't know, like she likes Velvet Tonka and Pas Ce Soir are a bit gourmand. Mm-hmm. And she likes this gourmandise at BDK.
Yes, gourmandise.
So she's wearing this one.
Mm. Okay, so going out of perfume for a second, what music is most played? What are you listening to?
Music?
Yeah.
Oh, I love R&B.
R&B, yeah. Okay.
Since I'm very, very young, I'm in love with R&B. Mm-hmm. One of my cousins, he used to be a DJ in France. And he was an R&B, R&B rap DJ.
Cool.
And so he gave me this culture for R&B. So I'm in love with R&B music since I'm very, very young. But I like also house, I like techno, I like also I like French songs, I love French songs, I love French movies also, but my preferred music is mostly R&B.
I'm curious, because this sometimes comes up where people sort of associate different music or different genres with different smells. And I know that it could go, you could go as far as to say like it's synesthesia, but I think to some extent we all sort of associate different smells with different sounds and colors and textures. If R&B had a smell to you, which fragrance is the most R&B of BDK?
Wow, very, oh, not an easy question.
It's coming to me on the spot.
No, but it's a good question. Oh, the most R&B.
Or which one is house? Which one is R&B?
I would say maybe R&B is Gris Charnel.
Gris Charnel
Extré. Maybe even more Gris Charnel Extré, maybe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it's maybe even more I think R&B music is very sensual.
Mm-hmm.
Gris Charnel Extré is even more dark and sensual at the mm-hmm. same time. So mm-hmm. I would go for this one, yeah. But you mentioned colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you that I did paintings when I was younger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when I create perfume, I had a very nice interview in Marie Claire last month in Paris. And the subject was colors and perfume.
Mm.
And when I talked with the journalist, I told them that for me, it was really, really important to associate colors with raw materials.
Mm-hmm.
And when I create perfume, I always think about colors. And I don't know if you mentioned, but in some of my perfume, you have color name. Mm-hmm. You have Rouge Smoking.
Like Gris Charnel.
You have Gris Charnel.
Right.
So I did a candle, which is Ciel Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to play with colors too.
Right, and I noticed that even some of the juice has colors.
Yes.
Are you associating different scents with different colors as you create them?
Yeah, because at the end, a perfume has a color too.
Right.
You know, so that's why, you know. For example, if I take the example of Gris Charnel.
Right.
The color of the juice is gray, mm-hmm. as the name. Gris Charnel mm-hmm. means kernel gray.
Right.
Because for me, like the duality between sandalwood and vetiver, the smoky side of the vetiver and the creamy side of the sandalwood,
mm-hmm.
the color that appears to me is gray.
Right.
And I can't really explain why, but it's in my mind, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like gray has gotten some good marketing in the last decade of being a sensual. I mean, like there's like that book, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Then there's Gris Charnel.
Maybe, yeah, you're right.
I don't know, just thinking out loud here.
Yeah.
I know, so we are recording this, we are in New York. I know you lived in New York. You've lived all over the world at different points. What sort of smells do you associate with New York City, or are there any fragrances in your collection inspired by different places you've lived?
So I used to live in New York in 2010. I was a student, and I was making an internship in a perfume company.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I found a very dynamic energy in the city,
mm-hmm.
an energy that you can find anywhere in the world. You know, this energy directly make me think about dynamic raw material in the perfume with like a white musk, a vibrant wood,
mm-hmm.
Light full flower, you know,
mm-hmm.
intense energy in the perfume.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, New York City can have a typical smell,
mm-hmm.
because you smell many different kind of things in the city,
mm-hmm.
but all what you can think about thinking about New York is vibrant and tensions,
mm-hmm.
Dynamic.
Yes.
Am I clear?
I agree, 110%. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we've talked a lot about what's in your line and how you got there. For people listening who are very excited about the future of BDK, you sort of mentioned this at the beginning, but what are you most excited about that you're working on right now?
I'm working on my three next perfume that are launching this year. So this year will be very busy for BDK, but I'm working on this new SGD for Harrods. Mm-hmm. With Dominique Ropion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on another, I don't want to say which one, but I can tell you that I'm working on another extrait de parfum from an existing perfume.
Mm, okay.
So
start guessing.
So I'm doing the same work that I did for Gris Charnel Extrait and Gris Charnel,
mm-hmm.
with another perfume that already exists.
Now my wheels
but
are spinning.
But I can say it because it's a bit too early.
Okay.
So don't blame me, please.
Okay. We'll just have to wait.
There will be a new perfume coming in October, late October, because I'm opening my first boutique in Paris.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much. I'm super happy.
Wow.
It's very well located. And for the first time of my life, I will be able to provide what can be the BDK retail experience.
What will that experience be?
And this is super interesting, you know. There will be many animation. And when you will enter into that place, you will feel not you enter in a boutique, but more in a place full of different influences, arts, perfume for sure, emotions. So something a bit different That's what you can experience until now. And this boutique will have its own perfume. It will not be an exclusivity to the boutique, but it will be the inspiration of this perfume would come from the raw material that I used to build the boutique.
Wait, okay, the raw material, like that's in the building material?
Like for example, if I use concrete or if I use stone or if I use a glass.
Okay.
All this inspiration, I took them to create my own fragrances according to this boutique. So it's a new approach that I didn't have until now for BDK. But still keeping the main subject, sensuality.
Sensuality. Yeah.
Always.
Mm. So concrete.
Yeah, but of course, maybe you should know that one of our DNA raw materials for all our merchandising is made of concrete. So for sure, there will be concrete in the boutique.
Okay. I'm very
but
intrigued
not only,
by concrete.
Not only, there will be other beautiful things.
Mm, very exciting. Well, this has been wonderful talking to you. We have a final segment of the show. It is rapid fire scent association. I will throw out people, places, concepts, and you just tell me the first smell that comes to mind. Are you ready to play What's That Smell?
Yes.
What's that smell?
Okay. David, what is the smell of New York City?
Concrete.
Wow. We're just talking about that. Okay. What is the smell of Paris?
Love.
What is the smell of love?
Happiness.
What is the smell of your childhood?
The green flowers that in the park I used to play.
Okay. What is the smell of your home?
Clean and fresh.
What is the smell of Ben Lux?
Full of perfumes.
Full of perfumes. Okay. What is the smell of David Benedek?
Colorful.
Colorful. Yes, that checks out. Mm. Okay, the final question then. What is the smell, if you had to sum it up, of BDK Parfum?
I would go for sensual and deep.
Central and deep. I love it. David, it has been such a pleasure chatting with you, learning more about one of my favorite brands ever. This is so wonderful. For everybody listening, everybody who listens to this podcast has tried BDK Parfum, if I'm being honest. But where can they find your fragrances?
In the United States, we have several point of sales across the countries. So you can check directly on the website of BDK.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, today, I'm going, after this interview, I'm going to do a meet and greet at Sandbar in New York City.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to be there. It's in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So you can definitely check and find BDK there.
Right. And for everybody listening as well, we are also doing a BDK-themed smell club this month. And David will be joining to do a live meet and greet Q&A virtually. So sign up. We are smelling 5 wonderful fragrances. We are smelling, let's see if I can remember them all. Passoir, Villa Neroli, Rouge Smoking, Gris Chanel, and Velvet Tonka.
Great.
Yes. Do you like my choices that
That's
I picked?
Perfect. That's perfect.
Okay, great. I'm very excited. I'm glad I have your approval because I was like, which ones am I gonna pick?
I'm glad you chose what you like. Yeah.
I did. I chose exactly what I like. So yeah, sign up for that. We will be smelling these fragrances and then you will hear from David directly and you can ask him anything you would like about anything.
I would be super happy to be there and I can't wait to make it.
It's going to be wonderful. David, thank you so much for coming on Perfume.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This podcast is edited by Nick Mitzen, music is by Max Vernon, and illustrations are by Israel Rodriguez.